Words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Have you ever wondered what that scripture references when he says, if you fall on the stone, Jesus, you'll be broken, but if the stone falls on you, you'll be crushed? What he's basically saying is, it's better to take the kingdom by force than have the kingdom forced on you. I've tried both, and taking the kingdom by force voluntarily actually is a better way of doing it. I want to talk to you a little bit about, I want to talk about the word righteousness as we begin. The word righteousness, I think sometimes we get confused because of our religious culture. And so we see that kind of thing through a consciousness of sin, but Scripture says that he came to set us free from a consciousness of sin. What I mean, we just see things all through the lens of our sinfulness. The word righteousness means to just do right. Literally translated in the original language, it means right doing. But our tendency is to think, okay, righteousness, therefore, is that you don't do things. There are certain things you just don't do because you do right. And that's the whole consciousness of sin mindset. That's not what he's trying to say. It's like if somebody's doing something and they can't get it to work, they finally said, I'm finally getting it right. That's what that word means. Right living. It's not about, oh, I'm not doing wrong living or I'm not doing certain things. It's about, from God's perspective, living life and life more abundantly. Living fully as God created me to live. It's a good word. Not a word about what you don't do. It's a word about what you get to be and how you get to live. Okay? It's important. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, how many times have all of us quoted that to ourselves? But why is there no condemnation? Because you're in Christ, and therefore you can't be any more condemned before God than he can. I love, again, that verse from 2 Corinthians 5 that says, he, the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God. How? In Christ. That we might live life the right way instead of living life as the fall and the reign of sin dictates. That's an amazing scripture. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in the person of Christ. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. Now think about that. He talks about a law of sin in chapter 7 being in our members. That's just the virus, a sin that's still part of this fallen body. It won't go away until I go see him and I get a new body. But it reigned over me until it was reigning in my life. It was the master. But when I became a Christian, there's another law. It's a more powerful law. He calls it the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. In other words, it's the same principle by which Jesus lived his life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has, past tense, set you free from the law of sin and death. There is therefore now no condemnation. That's good news for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then there's another part of the gospel. I don't have to worry about condemnation anymore. But there's another part of the gospel, and that is this. The law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has set me free from all sin and death. Because I'm in Christ, I can't be condemned. And the law of the Spirit of life by which he lives, I get to live. I've been set free. Past tense, the law of sin and death. How many times do we pray, God, please set me free from this? You can go ahead and check that one off the box. He already has in Christ Jesus. And he goes on, he says, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh. What was the law? What could it not do? One, it couldn't pardon me. Two, it couldn't make me righteous. The scripture says in chapter 7, the power of sin is the law. Before I knew Christ, and all I could work with was my humanity, the more I tried to do good, the worse I got. And as a Christian, though I'm now in union with the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, if I try to live the Christian life on my own, try to keep the external laws, the harder you try, the harder you fall. Because it exposes that you can't do it on your own. You're trying to live the Christian life the same way you lived your lost life, by your own willpower to do good. You are now in union with the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. With the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. You're now in union with that, and you get to live by that. He says, because what the law could not do, weak as it was to the flesh, it wasn't that the law was wrong. The law is good. The law says, thou shalt do this or thou shalt not do that. Those aren't bad things. But the problem is, it had only thing it had to work with is my flesh. Weak as it was through the flesh. He said, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh. And then he starts to say something very similar that plays from 2 Corinthians 5. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin on my behalf, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ. For what the law could not do, weak as it was to the flesh, God did. Without your help and without my help. See, I think one of the things that happens with Christians is they don't really understand how big this thing actually is. They sort of see through this narrow lens instead of seeing through the lens of the finished work of Christ on the cross. When Jesus from the cross said, tetelestai, it is finished, or it is perfect, we got to start there. Where Jesus said it's finished, it's where everything starts. We have to see through that lens. What does he mean by that? It's pretty big when Jesus said it's perfect. For what the law could not do, weak as it was to the flesh, God did. How? How did God pardon me? And how did God transform me so that I now can live a life of righteousness, life and life more abundant? God did, sending his own son in the likeness of the flesh of sin. That's the literal translation. In the likeness of the flesh of sin, as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Instead of me being condemned, God says, what I'm going to do is condemn sin in the flesh. How am I going to do that? How's God going to do that? By Jesus taking on human flesh, and in his humanity, taking on, it says that Jesus in the likeness of the flesh of sin. Here's how big it is. He took on all of human brokenness in his person, and it was condemned. Not just the guilt of my brokenness, but the brokenness. It was taken to the place of execution in him. Think about that. He made him who knew no sin to be sin. That's what the literal word is on my behalf. He made him who knew no sin to be sin. The problem with fallen humanity is the reign of sin and all the destruction that it brings, all the brokenness it produces in us. Jesus took all that. Well, people sometimes will say, well, did Jesus take this to the cross? Or did Jesus take that to the cross? Or did Jesus take this to the cross? Let me read the scripture real quick. Isaiah 53. Verse 4. Well, I didn't mean to start earlier. It's amazing. Verse 3, he was despised, forsaken of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And like one in whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our grief, and some people say that can be also sickness, he himself bore. I think it means brokenness, because if you look at it in other scriptures, like in Peter, it references the reign of sin, brokenness. And brokenness can represent all things in human brokenness. Surely our griefs he himself bore, our brokenness he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the chastening for our well-being, our wholeness, fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. What does that mean? It means what it says. We don't need to dummy it down based on our experience. My brokenness and all that that represents, that reign of sin in my life and all the brokenness it produces, Jesus clothed himself in all of that. What the law couldn't do, weak as it was to the flesh, God did, sending his own son. to be in the likeness of the flesh of sin, to condemn sin in the flesh. Instead of me being condemned, instead of God pouring his wrath out on me, he poured his wrath out on sin and its reign in our lives. By his stripes, by his scourging, we're healed. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free. Again, what does that mean? Don't use your little magnifying glass to try to figure out what that means. Use the magnifying glass of the cross, what Jesus said. It's extraordinary. Your brokenness, make it personal. My brokenness, which I want to pet sometimes and stroke sometimes and excuse sometimes and pacify sometimes, and what he took that in himself, and it was crucified. It was condemned. By his scourging, I was healed. For what? For my wholeness. If we're going after anything less than that experientially, we're missing the opportunity, the offer of the gospel. Don't we have to walk it out? Yes. The very next verse says, in order that, God did that, in order that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, not by us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What's my part? Walk in the Spirit. What's his part? He took care of everything. Yes, he took care of everything. But it's realized experientially in my life as I walk in the Spirit, and the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in me. We've talked about this before. What does that mean, the righteousness of the law? Jesus talked about it in the Sermon on the Mount. People say, well, I'm walking in righteousness, the Pharisee would say, because I've not killed that person. Jesus would say, if you hate that person, then you have not fulfilled righteousness. People would say, well, I've not committed adultery, therefore I'm pure morally. Jesus said, if you've lust in your heart, you're not walking in righteousness. That's the righteousness of the law. Not just what you don't do on the outside, but who you are on the inside. You with me? He deals even with the want to's. In order that the righteousness of the law, why did he do what he did, condemn sin in the flesh? He did all this. Why? So that that right living, that life and life more abundant, the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, can fulfill in me the righteousness of the law. Again, not by me, but actually from the inside out. So what's my part? Walk in the Spirit. Let me read this one more verse. I think it's so cool. This is verse 10 and 11. I'll read you something fun. New American Standard is by far the most accurate Bible, but English Bible, let me read what it says. And if Christ is in you, verse 10, though the body is dead because of sin, in other words, there's a law of sin still in my members, yet the Spirit is alive. That's not what it says. It says literally, yet the Spirit is life unto righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit who lives in you, raised Jesus from the dead, and it's the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. You walk in the Spirit. The virus can't control, for his reign has been broken. And all of our brokenness was taken to the cross. And I can walk out my wholeness, have bigger expectations of who you are in Christ than maybe you've had before. Let's live his dream for who he is, not the small dream we settle for who we are. Again, as you've heard me say before, it's not okay that you don't get as irritated with people as you used to. That's not the gospel. It doesn't say in Ephesians 5 or 2 Ephesians 4, after talking about it being a new creation, and those who steal no more. It doesn't say those who steal don't steal as much as they used to. That's not what the cross came to be. The cross didn't come so you don't get as irritated as you used to be, as impatient as you used to be, get as angry as you used to get, as controlling. You say, well, yeah, but my personality type. Jesus set you free from your personality type that sins. Your personality type can express righteousness. The righteousness of Christ. It's Jesus who does it. But don't use your personality type as an excuse for sin. Amen? That brokenness was taken care of at the cross. I just think that's really big good news. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, Johnny Lord, you wouldn't, maybe not Johnny Lord, didn't know who she was, but when she discovered this at a conference, she went home and told her husband, Peter Lord is a famous preacher, I've discovered two things. I discovered there's nothing he's not big enough for. He said, what's the other thing? I'll not have any more excuses ever.